practice. We talking about practice, man.
That's right. We are talking about practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. I am your co-host, Jarrell Gilbert. Alongside me, not my partner in crime or co-creator of the show, because we have no idea where he's at. But I got my producer extraordinaire, Statman Brad.
Yeah!
All right. There we go. That's the energy
I
need.
I'm ready to go.
Yes, I feel it. Yeah, so here we are. No Rudy, no Derek. We're playing a little hurt, but we're going to make it happen.
Yeah. Got to say, your hurt is my success at the end of the day.
That's right.
Yeah.
So as I mentioned at the top of the show, I spent my weekend in Vegas with my lovely fiance, met some family out there, met some friends, and Brad sent me over a parlay
and a
straight up bet. Yeah. You took Ohio State.
Which that one hurt.
But because I was in Vegas and I had been in Vegas for several days, I read the text wrong. And I took Ohio State money line.
Which my single bet was Ohio State money line.
That's correct. But I took them as your parlay instead of the over. What was it, 44?
55 and a half.
The final score was 14 to 10, so nowhere close to that.
No.
But because I had been in Vegas for multiple days and wasn't seen straight at this point, I put in the wrong bet, which actually ended up cashing out for you, and you cashed out on a parlay.
It did. So thank you. Thank you for not reading right and enjoying yourself in Vegas, because, again, your hurt led to my success, and
that's
I appreciate
that. Well, I'm here for you.
Yes. It shows.
Yeah. That's what I do. I look out for my friends through binge drinking in Las Vegas.
You'd sell me out or you'd trade me for a couple million dollars, but you know what? You make mistakes that help me win.
That's correct.
I appreciate that.
That's right. That's right.
Makes it a little bit better.
Well, you're welcome. All right. Well, like I said, we're playing down a few players today. We'll see if Derek shows up. Maybe he's dead. We really don't know. Hopefully not the latter, but
You know what? Tune in, and you might find out later on in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, if he's just not back.
Yeah.
Assume he died.
Yeah. Until he shows up, yes. I feel like that's a good assumption, and unfortunately, we condolences.
Oh!
Oh, well,
it turns out
he's alive.
Derek is not dead. He is just late, which is fine. All right, week three is in the books. Where do you want to start here? Because the Dolphins look
good spot
ridiculous.
That's a great spot to start.
The Dolphins scored 10 touchdowns in one game yesterday. The second
unreal.
Second most points ever scored in an NFL game against John's Broncos, which made it that much sweeter for me. I don't know if it's just because of John or because of the colors, because it's Denver, because of John Elway. I don't know. I've always hated the Broncos going back to forever. So to see the Broncos get absolutely obliterated like that was great, especially with all the high hopes coming into the season with Sean Payton and, you know, Russell Wilson can't be that bad 2 years in a row. No, but your defense can be that awful and give
terrible.
Up 10 touchdowns. If you're lucky enough to have Jason Sanders as your kicker yesterday, you got 10 points from your kicker who didn't kick one field goal.
That was,
it's stupid.
That would be a dream as a fantasy owner.
Well, the guy I played left Achan. What's his name? I can't. It's been a long weekend.
What team?
For the Dolphins, their backup running back.
Oh,
Achan, who had four touchdowns. He left him on the bench, so that was awesome for me, after my boy Font left Mostert on the bench the week before when he scored two touchdowns. So your boy's on a heater, and so are the Dolphins. Between two running backs, they scored eight touchdowns yesterday.
I love the underlying story of it, though, that McDaniels used to be the ball boy for the Broncos and was hoping to be a Broncos player. Didn't happen.
Coach.
You wanted to be a coach? Oh, okay, you wanted to be a Broncos coach. That didn't happen.
I love...
Sorry.
Nathaniel Hackett must be loving life right now.
He's got to be, right?
He's feeling real juicy about himself. Like, yo, Sean
Payton. It's not even his fault.
How's it feel now, my dude? That team is awful.
For those of you who missed the missed it this offseason, Sean Payton said Nathaniel Hackett did one of the worst coaching jobs with the Denver Broncos last year. You know what he didn't do? Give up 70 points in a game.
He didn't go 0-3. He was 2-1 last year at this point.
That's right.
And yeah. look at the Broncos. Haven't won a game yet. Where you at, Sean? Not looking good, my dude.
I love it.
It's pretty fun. It's tasty, most definitely.
I don't know why Sean Payton annoys me. I don't know if
he's
his face.
He's got a stupid face.
It is his face. Yeah, it's
his face.
Face
is very... Okay. And, I mean... I don't know if anyone saw the press conferences out there. He's, you know, testy already. 3 weeks in and already is already getting after the media, which I don't blame him. The media is annoying. Like, those guys, they like to be repetitive in their questions because they want to be the ones asking the question.
Yeah, you want to get clicks, you want to get attention, yeah. And so asking the question that's going to upset the head football coach.
Yeah,
it's a good tactic.
Great tactic. Yeah. So the media, they're essentially the job is to get a rise out of you.
Yes.
Yeah.
In every way, shape,
but
or
also
form.
Don't be so gullible.
Yeah. Exactly. Don't. Yeah. Don't fall for it, Sean Payton. I thought we were better than this.
Yeah.
You're a Super Bowl winning head coach.
Yeah.
Act like it. Nathaniel Hackett never had that problem.
That's right. You know? He sure has.
Yeah. Sorry. I mean, Russell Wilson, I will say, is just he doesn't care about Russell Wilson at all. I feel. Because usually at some point in time, you think in like a 70 beating like that, you would take out your starting quarterback and just be like,
nope, left him in the whole game.
You're like, nah, you're taking this beating, my dude. I hope you get out of here soon. Like, I don't blame him because Russell Wilson does seem like all your hatred of him seems to be well warranted. Just because he doesn't see, I mean, granted, great player, 100%, was a fantastic quarterback. And I say was, specifically. But his demands, what he looked like he did for his whole persona, has never just been fun. Granted, it's been very subsided this season because 0-3.
Let's ride.
Exactly. it's cringe.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's better than last year. He's almost halfway to the number of bathrooms he has in his house where it took him...
That's right.
15 weeks to tie his bathroom, 16 weeks to actually surpass that.
His bathroom total is
12. And he's got 6 touchdowns this year. Once again, it took him 15 weeks.
Do you think he's used every single one of those bathrooms?
Oh, he's absolutely. Got to.
You have to, right?
Like, absolutely.
If you
think
it's your house,
no way.
If it's your house, you build it, even if it's a bathroom that's not technically for your use ever, you do it. You tease it. You put a 2 in there.
Yeah. You claim your property.
Yeah.
You really think he's been all 12 bathrooms?
Yes, at one point.
I would imagine one of them's like in the kids' room. It's like the kids' area.
There's got to be a sign of the house that he never visits. There's got to be a
that's
bathroom
what I'm
on
saying.
There.
But I would imagine but like that would at be some like, point.
That would be the pristine bathroom to go into, I feel.
That's
the one that no one
but
is around.
I would just imagine like you're in your house, whether you're walking around or cleaning something up, and you just really got to take a dump. And so you just go to the nearest bathroom.
Or anyone. You know, like you got to go. Respect.
Let's call it a 2 or a poop.
All right.
Okay.
Trying to be so vulgar here.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Number 2, then. Thank you.
Yeah. Their kids listening to the show.
Clean it up, Brad.
All right.
Jeez.
Disgusting, Brad. How dare you bring the show into the dregs?
I apologize for bringing the show into the gutters.
Of bodily functions.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I am so sorry.
Jeez, clean it up.
Yeah. All right. So.
Is anyone beating Miami this year?
It's going to happen. I don't think undefeated is ever going to happen ever again. The NFL, it's too good.
Yeah.
There's two, obviously 70-20 makes it seem like, oh my gosh, but it's just like at some point in time, like that defense didn't care anymore. Obviously. They're running the game. They're trying to run the ball. They're trying to like not score. And they're just like, all right, score.
I am blown away that the NFL continues to allow Miami to take advantage of that home field advantage without having to cover the sidelines on the visiting team.
Yeah.
Because they literally had mats out and they were covering the players with mats trying to get them some shade yesterday.
Definitely smooth by Miami, but at the same point in time, it is kind of crap for the other team. Like, you have to suffer through this Miami Heat.
Yeah.
And that, no one wants to be in. That's just awful.
While the other team is in the shade.
In the shade, yeah.
The home team is in the shade, and you're just sitting there getting blitzed by the Sun.
So what is their upcoming schedule?
So I will say, so the big games that they have are next week against at Buffalo.
Okay, that's a big one.
That's going to be a big one.
And then two big walks.
Yep, and then
Giants and Panthers.
Giants and Panthers right after that. But then week seven,
God,
they're
going to
be at Philadelphia. So that could be a game that they could lose. That's also another playoff contending team.
If that's not Sunday Night Football, I'm going to be riding the street.
So that is Sunday Night Football. Yeah. Yep. But then 2 weeks later, they play at Kansas City.
There is a night football.
There are a morning game.
Oh, morning.
They're morning for that Sunday.
Is that
November 5th?
Oh, is that a 9:30 a.m. Eastern? Is that?
That's got to be a London game.
Oh, that, no.
That's a London game.
No, that looks like it's going to be a Germany game.
Deutsche Bank.
That's going to be a Germany game.
You know, the Dolphins aren't even favored next week.
They're two and the Bills.
Yeah, they're 2.5 dogs.
How?
Well, I guess
two and a half point dogs.
They're away. So yep. Obviously you have to try to overcome those 3 points. But the Bills, I don't know. The Bills are, obviously they had a big week this week, but it was against, who would they play again? Sorry, they dominated, but.
Was it the Commanders?
Yes, Washington, it was the Commanders. Yeah, so the Commanders are sneaky 2-1 team right now, but either way.
Yeah, and then after the Kansas City Chiefs in Week 9, the next really competitive game they really are going to have is either going to be at Baltimore the Week 17 or going to be at home against the Bills on Week 18.
So. Go for it, Miami.
Yeah, undefeated isn't realistic, most likely, but I'm wondering, they have to be the prohibitive favorites to come out of the AFC.
Yes.
They are looking delicious, especially it just feels... This is a fun NFL when the Dolphins are really good just because we're getting a lot of those great uniform colors.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you can see
I just
see
hope
them.
They utilize the best ones because they're wearing their all-whites at home, and I was like, I appreciate it. The all-whites are nice. They probably are one of the better all-whites out there, but...
I like the teal.
Oh, yes.
I have a quick question, if I could. Hey, Las Vegas, how y'all enjoying the Jimmy Garoppolo experience?
Was that 3 interceptions?
And, I mean, one of them was just, hey, that ball's got to get thrown away or anything but what he did. And I think that when he just threw it up there, the receiver was breaking off of his route. He just threw the ball deep and just nothing happened. Nothing happening there. You throw it into double coverage. During the interception, I believe it was Patrick Peterson that got the interception. There's no Raider wide receiver even around. Which made it all the more better, which I thoroughly enjoyed. So I'm just curious, Vegas, how y'all are enjoying that experience all around. Thank you for taking him off of our hands and making him your problem. He still looks great, even when he's, you know, throwing picks left and right. But I just wanted to thank the Raiders for...
Now, you were in Vegas this past weekend right now. Did you have yourself a problem with Steeler fans everywhere?
They're everywhere.
Everywhere,
yeah.
It seems like a perfect getaway for a Pittsburgh Steeler fan. Like, go to Vegas for the weekend.
Yeah, for sure.
Get away from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You know, a little East Coast.
Well, in general, everyone wants to go check out, you know, that game. Vegas is obviously a destination spot.
The Death Star.
And, yeah, so.
And then you also have that new little sphere action over in Vegas.
Yeah, the sphere's very cool.
I was going to say, what is that little, what's that like?
I didn't get to go in, but it's very, very cool to drive by. I mean, it's constantly changing.
I got to imagine that's caused a number of car accidents. You know? I'm just saying, you're driving by, you're just like caught in the, you know, mesmerized, stupefied.
I would imagine as well.
Grappified by this.
Statman Brad, you're on it? Yep. All right.
Yeah, please let me know.
The sphere is very cool. The Raiders Stadium from the outside, again, looked very cool. I definitely want to check out a game there.
It does have the cool. The Death Star is probably the coolest name for nickname for a stadium ever.
Yeah, it's all right there. I saw where they're tearing down the hotels and putting in the baseball stadium as well.
Oakland.
Yeah.
Just like Vegas did it better. You know, it's like that's unfortunate, the case right there.
It's all right there, too, so you could just bounce from one to...
It's like on the one, like the south end of the strip, like kind of towards like the pyramid one?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yep, the Luxor. Yep, it's all down that way.
Wow. That's pretty cool. I do like the idea of like having a, obviously when you have your stadium within a walking distance of like the major metropolitan area, it shouts to you, hey, having to drive into the stadium.
Yeah, that's why I have not gone to a game at Levi's yet. I hate where the Niners. First of all, I'm from the Bay. I hate the South Bay. San Jose, all that, no interest. No thank you. Santa Clara specifically, no thank you.
Wow, shots fired.
You built it in a parking lot in Great America. Yeah, no thanks. I'm good. I don't like that part of the Bay. There's nothing of interest to me in that part of the Bay. The food's all right.
How much did the people of San Francisco pay for a stadium not even built in their city?
I don't think taxpayers paid for that.
Okay, good.
I don't think so.
Santa Clara paid for it then. That's deserved. But
that's
right. Yeah.
Any car accident reports?
As of right now, no car accidents.
That's a lie.
No car accidents caused by that or people saying that they were distracted. So if anything, they were lying and saying that they weren't distracted by the sphere.
Plenty of DUIs though, right? Am I right?
I'm just saying, if you're drunk behind the wheel, don't ever do that, people. Don't drink and drive.
Terrible.
For people around you. But also, you see that thing, you're probably just like lost in the sauce, right?
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Yeah, is that the moon?
Where am I?
Yeah.
But imagine if you're like on something else too.
I feel like if you're on something else, that's going to be more trippy.
Much of a trip. Again, don't drink and drive.
And don't do drugs and drive.
Don't do drugs and drive. If you're doing it, be in a safe environment.
Right. Be on foot.
Have somebody who is not driving so you can get lost, really lost in it.
There you go.
Uber.
Best win of the weekend, boys, excluding Miami. We got Chargers. We got Packers. I also nominate the Colts. I'll take another another recommendation.
I mean, you got to give Brad his Packer love right now. I mean, 17-point comeback.
That's impressive right there. That one, I was not expecting it. I definitely walked away and during the fourth quarter and then came back halfway through and was just wondering what was going on. I had false hope that ended up being true. So it was weird to see it, that Love was able to overcome that, but at the same time with Carr being out, that one really gave us the edge. If Carr was still in there, I think they would have at least scored another touchdown, maybe two. But
really, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is he that much better than Jameis Winston?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, I'd give him the edge.
I really don't. I feel like that's like a. I've never been a big Derek Carr fan. Again, he does share my name, so I kind of have to have support for him. But he's very low on the Derek totem pole.
I just think he has more composure than Jameis. So where I
feel like Jameis has a more potential for greater than. His upside, but his downside is more than Derek Carr. I will give you that.
Yes. Yeah.
Like Derek Carr will manage your game a little bit better.
Yes, Jameis and that's more or less what I was.
Jameis will throw for 420 yards and four picks in a game.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
They'll be spectacular every single time.
With three touchdowns, don't forget.
Let's go worst loss then, because I think we all agree the Packers had the best win. Jordan Love getting. By the way, the Packers have won their home opener 10 years in a row. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And Jordan Love keeps that tradition alive. Worst loss, excluding Denver, we have the Ravens.
I mean, it's got to be the Jaguars.
It's got to be the Jags,
It's got to be the Jags, right? Texans?
I was thinking Dallas against the Cardinals.
Okay, that's another one, too.
Dallas is way up there. Yeah, I think Dallas was the largest favorite of the weekend. Going into it, I think they were 11.5-point favorites and lost. However, they weren't at home. The Jags were, correct?
And they lost by 20 points.
Yeah.
37-17. That's like no fluke right there. Right? Granted, the Cowboys game was, you know, somewhat close. It's still within they had it within a possession for a while until it ended being 28-16. But both of those are just terrible score lines for those losing teams right there. I mean, the Cowboys, you just showed off as being like one of the best teams in the NFL, if not the NFC. You have a defense that's everyone's riding behind, and then you put up this clunker against a team that's trying to lose, technically speaking.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Obviously, no teams, like, the guys go out there and, like, just have at it. No. But, like, this is.
Well, this is the team that cut their quarterback, I think, 9 days before the season started in Colt McCoy.
You have a guy by the name of Josh Dobbs who has the Charlie Villanueva effect, where Kevin Garnett probably would have called him a cancer patient if ever had the chance to. But it's unfortunate.
Or Chris Rock would have made fun of him and got slapped on stage.
Keep my QB's name out your mouth.
Purdy puts up 30 again. Just wanted to mention it. Brock Purdy looking good, man. As much as I don't love that he has no arm strength. The kid makes great decisions, gets rid of the ball fast, got blitzed on 85% of plays, and they still looked good. So Niners keep rolling. Miami keeps rolling. As of right now, you'd probably say those are number one and number two teams in the league. But
the shocker right now for me, not the worst loss, but just biggest shock, is Minnesota's 0-3 right now.
Not a surprise to me
that
at all.
Minnesota that Minnesota loss was the stupidest loss of
it
Minnesota
was so
team.
Dumb.
It was so dumb out there. Great, the Chargers were trying to give it away to you. Now, granted, I was okay with the if you didn't see the game, the Chargers had a chance with a short fourth and one on the Minnesota side of the field. No, on their side of the field, I apologize, with like less than a minute left. And they decided to go for it to essentially steal the game out with a 4-point lead. Yeah. Which I can get behind that. I can. Yeah. But just it didn't execute. Play didn't happen. And they turned it over to Minnesota. And Minnesota failed to score a touchdown in that situation over just – it's like, how do we not know clock management here, guys? It's so annoying. Like, when everyone else around you is realizing, yo, the clock is running. You have a – you made a big fourth down conversion inside to the 10-yard line from Minnesota. Clock is winding down under 25 seconds. The clock is running. And they don't spike the ball there. They just continually shout and try to get a play going, and it ends up being an interception.
Yep.
So it's just like, Kirk Cousins, my dude, you have this potential for doing good things, and not just campus on Kirk right now. This is 100% on the coaching. It's like, yo, clock it. That's all you got to do. Everyone was saying that in their mind if you're watching that game, was like, how are you not spiking this ball right now to give your chance
well,
to reset?
Well, even if you got to be prepared for that moment, even if you're not going to clock it, everyone needs to run up to the line in that situation and know what the play is.
You got to say that in the previous huddle.
Yeah.
It's like, if we make this... We got to get to the line. Hurry up. And this is the play we're running
Yeah, we're going to go throw a jump ball.
Yeah.
We have Justin Jefferson.
That being said, you can still clock it. Give yourself a fresh time to think about it, talk it over. Yeah. It's so easy. It's like, play Madden and learn clock management.
Fair enough.
It really is so
and
simple.
The reason I say I'm not surprised about Minnesota, Brad, is because Minnesota won, 11 games last year that were one-score games? I thought they were fraudulent last year. And so fair. I thought that was... The pendulum had to swing the other way. You can't just keep getting lucky like that.
And it swung to the Lions at that point.
Well, shout out to the Lions doing their thing. Right?
Yeah, Lions get the dub, get a nice bounce back game after losing to the Seahawks, right, the week before.
Yep.
Yeah, so there you have it.
And then my Panthers suck, so.
Yeah, they're not good.
Yeah, we're not good. I mean, we look
Bryce
better.
Bryce Young goes out with an ankle injury. Not
we look better with Andy Dalton, but that's kind of expected because Bryce Young is new, and Andy Dalton has been in a team that knows how to suffer, so he knows how to lose well.
Yeah,
Bryce Young is going to learn that skill very early on if this offensive line continues.
Yeah,
oh, God, we're terrible.
It's pretty tough.
Build your offensive line, people. Simple enough.
We got the rest of the season to talk football. We already talked too much football. Let's take them on a walk around the bases with the final week of the baseball season approaching before we get to these playoffs, Derek.
Oh, man. Another. I'm sorry, Giants fans.
We've
squashed your hopes.
Yeah, it's
gone.
This weekend, we put you 5 games behind with about 6 games left to play. Puts you in a damn near impossible hole to climb out of. You guys weren't doing yourselves any favor in this series as you guys just had some defensive blunders. You did have the one big win, but all in all, it was your team has, I can imagine it was an infuriating season for y'all. They showed flashes of being like, oh my gosh, it's going to be a special team to what are we doing out there half the time? That being said, you had a bunch of pieced together an interesting team, but the season's over, I feel. Sorry, Giants fans.
It's
over. October will continue on. You will not be there. Spend some money. Do yourself some favor, y'all. Farhan, Zahidi, spend some money. Like, go out there and shell out, my dude. Like, we need...
Shell out for Shohei.
It was just like...
Yep.
Yeah, because...
Shohei tax.
We were, this last couple of series we've had with some big rival opponents that are supposed to be division rivals just haven't been as entertaining because it's like, we're not, they were easy. I'm not trying to say that in a demeaning way. It was just call it like it is. I like to see when you guys are fighting. I do enjoy and relish the moment when we do squash you guys, no doubt. But there is something to be said when that rivalry is piping hot and people are fighting and that meant something. Like, you guys are giving it to us at home. baseball is great when that happens. Now, granted, baseball is having a great year, as that is happening in many other places right now. What? As the NL wild card is still up for grabs, as is the AL West, which is a fantastic race as well.
So, the Dodgers were 30-15 against the West. Let me just say that again, against the whole entire West. And they still got a couple more games left, but they're 30-15 right now against the whole entire West. The next closest team would be the Arizona Diamondbacks, 29-23, and the only other team above 500 is the Padres at 25-24.
That Padres team is also a conundrum as well.
Yep.
They had
yep.
a chance. They were actually on a pile that might have felt like they could have swung the way into the playoffs if certain teams were dropping out, but they unfortunately had one of their most unexplicable losses in a Cardinal series, which they pretty much needed to win out on.
Right.
And they lost in overtime. I'm not overtime.
Extras.
Extra innings. Wow. Oh, Derek, shoot yourself. that being said, in extras, the San Diego Padres team is 0-12. 0-12 this entire season in extra innings. That is just doesn't make any sense. That's not just happenstance. There's something in there that's just they're not able to hit in clutch situations, especially with some of the big guys at bats. San Diego had this game in hand. They had two guys, second and third, one out in the bottom of the ninth with Tatis and Soto coming up, and both of them strike out. That's just inexplicable. That is pathetic. You can't get the ball in the air, Tatis. If you did that, it'd been scary because like you all were steaming and a lot of teams are dropping off. Because some teams don't want to make the playoffs, it seems like. Chicago Cubs, they don't really want to make the playoffs, it feels like. They want to drop out. Arizona's having a good showing. I will say they feel like they've substantiated their place, but the Marlins don't look like they want to make the playoffs either. And the Reds certainly don't want to make the playoffs.
Yep.
So it's fun.
The big thing that you mentioned, the 0-12, 7-22 with one run games for the Padres.
That is also terrible.
In those one run games or going into extras, you're 7-34. That is bad.
A 1-1 game, it feels like there's something you can do right there. It's just like manufacture a run. If you can't manufacture a run, the management, it's on that clubhouse. How do you not figure this out? How is the manager not able to put the right people in the right situations to make that? If you can't manufacture runs, you're not going to survive in this league. Now, they've manufactured runs. Don't get me wrong. They have the third best run differential in all of baseball behind the Braves and the Dodgers, I want to say.
That's crazy.
And they're not making the playoffs.
Granted,
it's not shut on them completely. They are, again, 5 games out with 6 games to go. But they also have three other teams in front of them right now. So they need a lot of teams to drop off and for them to, again, continue to win out. And they have a big series against you guys right now, and then they finish with the White Sox. So, but that's crazy to think that they have that big of a run differential and they are that bad of a record.
So
plus 91 run differential, the only teams better in the NL, Atlanta with plus 230, Dodgers with plus 198, and Chicago with plus 101.
Chicago, another one, too. Another team that has put up a big run differential, and they're barely scratching by right now. I mean, they have a fun lineup, and they have a pitching staff that when they're dealing, they can deal. But this last week is going to be a testament right now. A lot of teams are also playing their division rivals to figure it out, too. I believe the Cubs are facing the Milwaukee Brewers, who have clinched a spot but have yet to clinch the actual division. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. Now, the other big race is the AL West right now. That is the division that's really holding over a lot of things as the Mariners, Houston Astros, and Texas Rangers are trying to figure out who's going to be making it in. And the Houston Astros are the team that are slightly falling off the pace, which is crazy to think about right now. Texas has gotten a big grip on it on this as a 2.5 game lead. But Houston just got swept by the Kansas City Royals at home this weekend. The Royals are lost 103 games this season. That's despicable. That's unacceptable. but I love to see it. Again, suck it, Houston. If they don't make the playoffs, that would be amazing. I don't think that will happen. They probably will find a way to sneak in. The Mariners, though, trying to fight for their way. And you also have the Toronto Blue Jays also in the mix as well, who have should be making it in with the way that they're going. And shouts to the Yankees for being eliminated. And hopefully, they'll finish under 500. So we'll all hope for the best. Right? That's what we love here on the West Coast, Best Coast. We hate you, New York. I think that, like, as Giants and Dodger fans, that's one thing we can all agree on.
We hate New York.
Yeah. Like, we hate you more, but, like, we also have a diehard hatred for the Yankees. Like, we've lost to them so much. So I really
hate it. Really goes back to the Brooklyn and Yankees day, or the New York days for both. Yep.
All of us,
way back in the 50s, 30s, 40s,
They were just so good.
Well, they're not good anymore.
They're not, yeah. So,
it's been beautiful since 2009. Yeah. We haven't seen any inkling of hope for them.
Not particularly, and they're still keeping, looks like they're keeping the same thing, run it back with Cashman and Boone at the helm.
Which makes zero sense. This is not the Yankees that we knew back in the 90s, early 2000s, where if it didn't work, they got rid of you.
But, I mean, they do have stars, whether you're talking about Judge or...
That's where it stops.
Yeah.
That's the only problem.
Fair enough.
I mean, Garrett Cole as well. Garrett Cole is probably going to win the AL Cy Young. But that being said, the game of baseball has changed since what they're used to in their heyday in the 90s, early 2000s, and that 2009 run where they just, that was the last one they were able to buy with A-Rod. But now and then, it's not like that anymore. You have to be able to have a farm system that is bringing up talent on the regular basis right now, that is developing talent. You can't just wheel and deal and try to find and sign the next star agent, because a lot of these guys are signing 10, 12, 15-year contracts, which is ridiculous for an exorbitant amount of money.
Well, not just that, but you look at all the – not just the Yankees' success in the 90s and the early 2000s, but think about it all the way back to the beginning. Like you were saying, it's all about their farm system, and they've been doing that since – they were created. Their farm system was amazing. They brought in all these new people. They rarely ever like picked a bunch of guys off from other teams. I mean, the biggest one was Babe Ruth back in the tens, but still, they had their team already made. It was just one extra piece that added to the dynasty that was Yankees, the Bronx
Bombers. Posada, Jeter, Pettit were all homegrown talents right there for them.
Rivera.
Yep. Yeah. Having homegrown talent is really important for any team nowadays. It's imperative. It's always been that way.
Yeah.
But more so
Teixeira
now.
Was Teixeira one of them?
Teixeira was a free agent.
He came over from Texas.
Teixeira was. I mean, they got like the Giambi was a free agent signing. Hideki Matsui was an international signing that they got. He was Godzilla.
Yeah, but they had their core like five or six.
But they still were out there spending their money. Gary Sheffield, another guy they brought in on big money as well.
They don't
so.
Have anybody that was part of their core of who they brought up. In their minor league system right now. They just don't. And I think that's their big problem.
To be them.
Yeah. Baseball, baby.
I love it.
Last week, y'all, then October starts. It's can't wait.
Yep.
Even though with all that trash talk, I think they still have a better record than the Giants this year so far.
We're right
about even.
Yeah, you guys are under 500.
Yeah.
You're 77-79. They're 79-77.
Yeah. Well,
four games back, not terrible.
You can do it.
All right, well, the baseball season's almost over for me, so that's fantastic. Oh, man. Baseball. Excellent work as always, Derek. I appreciate you keeping us up to date with what's going on in the majors. It's been a disappointing season for the Giants. I actually will watch the MLB playoffs. They're always exciting. Better.
The wild card round's going to be a lot of fun, I think, especially with the Phillies taking on whoever they are and the AL as well. So it's, even though I will say, too many teams are making the playoffs. I'm sorry, I'm saying it. Yeah, big time.
I think it makes it more interesting.
It does, but at the same point in time, the fact that there are some teams that are still kind of have a chance right now and their record is what it is, it's just like, oh, these are too many bad teams in here, I feel.
Fair enough.
Not to say that they're bad, it's just like the regular season is becoming less meaningless. And the regular season used to mean something. I'm going to be one of those old cranky dudes like, 162.
Yeah, way I am with college football.
Yeah, but like at the same point in time, like that, it's a grind. That's the whole idea of it right there.
Yeah.
And if you can make it through that grind, then you're supported. But now it's just like everyone gets a chance. So,
yep, makes sense.
I was fine with four teams making it on each side. One wild card team. Now we got three. Then we're going to add more, too. That's only going to happen. So that's even worse.
Probably.
Yeah, that's scary. Yeah. I don't want that. Don't add more.
Oh, man, we are becoming that show. What show is that? Talking about practice. Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show right here on FM 90.1 KZFR. Chico, we are people-powered community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Jarrell, Derek, Statman Brad in the building. Rudy should be back next week. We'll have our foreign correspondent Aaron here in just a minute. Want to give a shout out to you, our listeners, also to our friends at Baker's Birkenstock, featuring more than 40 brands of footwear, socks, purses, and hats. Baker's Birkenstock has been serving our community for over 40 years with locations at 333 Broadway Street in downtown Chico and 691 First Street in Paradise. Also on Facebook. Thank you to Patrick Riley. Thank you to Baker's Birkenstock. And thank you to you, our listener. We appreciate y'all hanging out with us here. It's been real.
Yeah, I say Rudy's got to wash his money right now again.
Yeah, he's working. Trying to, you know, make back for his losses
incredible
over the weekend.
Losses. Yeah. He had a tough weekend, I know, in the betting world.
Did he?
He was pulling hard to break even. Mm. He was chasing. You never want to be chasing.
Never want to be chasing.
Never chase.
Was he chasing all weekend? Or
he was chasing on Sunday night, I know.
Okay.
I don't want to put his business out there.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, as a gambling, the man out there right there, yeah, he's got to be held accountable.
Yeah. That's why he's not here.
That's why he's not here.
Yeah. He's got to watch that money.
He's being accountable right now to his bookie for his kneecaps.
You got some news for the people?
We do.
All right. Let's do it.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news. Derek Isamaki has breaking news.
That is right, y'all. Time for
the news.
Now, we start off on an international basis right now in good old Greece. Good old Greece right now. We're Greece. I don't know if you realize, it had some turmoil, the past weather turmoil, I should say. It's had other turmoil as well, but we're not going to get into ancient history.
Sorry, that's stupid.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Made me laugh.
That being said, we keep it present day right now in Greece, where they've had a little issue of flooding happening over there in their country, in the plains of Thessaly, Greece. Now,
bad.
Yeah, I know. It's bad out there. So that's led to a lack of food for certain animals. This being some sheep right now, that a herd of sheep were trying to find a food source. But they weren't able to find any because of all the flooding taking away all their vegetation. But they did find their way into a little greenhouse that had all the greenery they could ever want. So they went ham.
Uh-oh.
Started going ham on this greenhouse right now with all the green they could possibly find. And that green in particular is not your... No, it was natural. Because it is natural. It is nature's herb.
Uh-oh.
A little... marijuana! A little cannabis! That's right, they started eating cannabis plants. 100 grams of cannabis, to be in fact.
Oh, God.
Yeah. 100 kilograms. I'm sorry, just 100 grams. 100 kilograms. 100 grams would be absolutely nothing. 100 kilograms. of cannabis were destroyed by these sheep as they grazed through this greenhouse. Now Greece is apparently in the new world of cultivating medical cannabis now. So shouts to you, Greece. Welcome to our world. Where it's now popular for them to start growing cannabis. But again, having trouble with the flooding was not good, but this greenhouse was unfortunate for this cultivator, as he did lose pretty much his last resources of this crop this year because of all the flooding that's happened. So unfortunate for this man, but those sheep had themselves a day. The herder of said sheep did say he did see his sheep acting funny for the rest of the day. If you ingest that bad boy, a lot. 100 kilograms.
That's
man.
A ton, yeah.
Those sheep must have had themselves a little trip, man. That was that'd have been interesting for them.
For sure.
I'd love to just enter the mind of the sheep after that happened right now and like see what they're going through. Like, what's up, dude? That's a high sheep for you guys. Okay. So, high sheep in Greece right there. Watch out. I wonder how they taste. I wonder how those lamb chops would taste.
Very grassy.
Herby.
Herby, yeah.
Herbalaceous. I wonder if you would get high off the eating there. Probably not.
No, because you'd cook it out of it.
Yeah. But that is another way to actually bring out some of the THC. And the CBD.
Cook it, yeah. To cook it.
A little heat.
No.
I don't know. I have no idea.
It could be a marination within them, and then you cook out the marination.
Because they say when you eat a bear that's been in like berry season, it tastes like blueberries. Like if you like,
yeah, it has that berry taste.
It has a berry taste to it. Yeah, berry.
Very berry bear.
We're eating bear over here, and lamb chops. Everything's on the menu, guys. Everything. Moving on right now. We got one last story. Just a fun little story right now over in Texas. No Florida stories for you guys, but Texas comes a close second to Florida.
That's right.
That being said, we go to a little mortuary in Eagle Pass near Houston, where we had an unfortunate incident where a man passed away, Mr. Mejia. Got a cancer. Now, mortuary came to take care of said body, process him. They had a little incident, though. Mr. Mejia's brother was in the building when they were taking the body out, and he, as the morticians, workers for the mortuary, were taking the body in the stretcher outside their apartment, they heard a little thud. A few thuds down the way. Now, Mr. Mejia went to investigate and found that they had dropped said dead body down the stairwell.
Jeez.
Wow. Causing numerous bruisings and denting, quote-unquote, denting to the head. So obviously, the Mejia is not happy with this mortuary. Now, the workers are trying to deny anything happened right there, but obviously it's kind of hard when denting is on a dead body that wasn't there before. It's not like the body moved.
Yeah.
And got it himself. Well, it did move, actually. By gravity's force, because of said dropping of the body. So yeah, this mortuary is now facing a lawsuit for the Mejias for the unfortunate treatment of a dead body. Respect the dead, y'all. But at the same point in time, it is dead.
I was gonna say, I wonder if like an accidental dropping of a body, like is gonna land a lawsuit.
Yeah, like is it? That's tough. L to take right now.
You can sue anybody, but at the same time, are you actually gonna win that one?
I mean,
because there's
could.
No harm to anybody.
Well,
at
somebody.
That point, there's. I mean,
he was
somebody.
There's still the body. It's
disrespecting of the body. I understand that, but
and for certain cultures in particular, that's very very. Granted,
I didn't think
was,
about it like that. Okay,
they would probably do it themselves. But at the same point in time, you ask a mortician to take care of it, especially in certain cultures.
That's fair.
That is
fair. I didn't think culturally.
Now,
that's on me.
Be more sensitive, dude.
You know what?
Yeah, the dude's in Nirvana with a dented head, okay?
I dropped the number two. I apologize.
Yeah. You know, so tough look for this man and the Mejias. So careful who you ask to carry your dead body, people.
All right.
Or just burn them. You don't have to worry about what happens to them.
Creamery.
Or that might be bad, too. I don't know. Do what you want. It's your dead body.
It's not a creamery. Well,
did you say creamery?
The t-shirt did.
Cremation.
I believe it's okay.
Do you want to bring it out, Aaron?
Yeah,
let's
please. Do that. Yeah, where you get your milkshakes, your burnt bodies, you know?
Creamery.
Each week we class up the show. Hold on. Let's bring on the class up the show music. We class up the show a little bit with our foreign correspondent. Everyone loves her. Her friend, your friend, our friend.
My sister.
Your sister.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron.
How's it going, guys?
What's up, Aaron? Hello. Welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. So new week, same Formula One story. Am I right?
Well, actually, it's different than last week because this week, Max Verstappen did win.
Yeah.
And a fairly dominant performance. Red Bull has officially won the Constructors' Championship. Fairly early in the season. I was trying to figure out the earliest one, like, you know, when it was won early in the season. I could not find that information, but I did find something else very interesting. Ferrari has won 16 times. Did you guys know that? 16.
Yeah, they were the dominant force back in the day.
Yeah, so I don't think we can be too grumpy that, you know, Red Bull is...
That's fair.
No doubt, but this is like the new guard, the change, and they've been, you know, they've been fighting for it, especially Mercedes had been a big fighter for it for quite some time as well in the early 2010s and until now, until Red Bull's kind of take...
Ferrari's pretty dominant in the early 2000s, so, yeah, no, it's a, I think it's the change into the guard, and we're seeing the McLaren cars doing pretty well too. It was Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri who went 2 and 3. And Lando Norris has had a pretty good few races. They're creeping up there. They might do it. So it's going to be really interesting to watch season 6 when Netflix comes out with it. I know you have to wait a long time, but thinking about it gets me pretty hyped.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. This last race was in Japan, right?
That is correct.
That's right. Okay. Let's jump over to golf if we could for a second. So LIV Golf is back. Tell us who the champion was in Chicago this past weekend, and then I kind of want to talk about the Ryder Cup if we could.
Yeah, so Bryson DeChambeau, I know that we don't necessarily love LIV Golf quite as much, but he came back from 3rd strokes behind Sebastian Munoz on day 3, the final day, to win it, which is pretty impressive. His team also came in first. He's the Crushers GC. I really hate these team names, but what are you going to do? It's Bryson DeChambeau, Paul Casey, Charles Howell, and Erbon Lahiri. Sorry, guy, I don't know your name so well.
No, you're fine.
That was pronounced perfectly.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, we never mess up on the show.
Yeah, no, never.
You are on the show now, so you get that proxy get that love. Yeah.
I rock that really hard.
Yeah.
So jumping over the PGA, the Ryder Cup teams were announced, and Bryson DeChambeau was left off the Ryder Cup team and kind of sounded off about this. What did you think hearing this news about Bryson missing the cut?
I mean, you look at the names that were picked, and you kind of go, okay, you know, maybe I can see why. It was Sam Burns, Ricky Fowler, Colin Morikawa, Brooks Koepka, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas that were picked. Maybe Ricky Fowler not so much, but he did have a great year. It's tough. There's a lot of good golfers, and you know, it does make you wonder. You know, none of those guys are playing with LIV.
Yeah.
So what are you gonna do? It's not like you can't look at these names and go, those were bad picks.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. And Bryson DeChambeau basically said, if you look at it, it would have been nice to at least have had a call talking about Zach Johnson. And I was surprised DeChambeau was left off, but like you said, you mentioned those names, and those names are all solid golfers, so it's not like he got absolutely snubbed. And listen, bro, you took the money. You went to LIV Golf, and this is kind of what the PGA was threatening was going to happen before the PGA got bought out, and we still are trying to figure out what all is going on there. But
they threw the LIV a bone with having Brooks Koepka on there, so that was your one LIV guy.
There you go.
You're like, sorry, Bryson.
That's right.
We'll take Brooks over Bryson.
Yep. Can you stick around just for a couple minutes for a couple quick questions, Aaron?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So this is our bad life advice segment where you guys write in, and none of us are mental health experts, so we just shoot from the hip on how we would handle these life situations. Question number one, the title comes in, my friend's a cheater. What's up, Aaron and gents? I love the show. Wanted to mention that the reason I addressed Aaron before you guys is because she doesn't get enough love on the show, and I would love a woman's opinion on this matter.
We give her a lot of love on this show.
Yeah, she gets plenty of love. No, worry about yourself.
I'll take more. That's fine.
He says, I have a rather large group of core friends. Most of us are in our late 20s to our early 30s. It is a fairly diverse group with an almost even guys to gals ratio. Recently, one of our good friends, we will call her Ashley, started bringing around a new guy we will call Kevin. After a few interactions with Kevin, he won the majority of the group over, which is not easy to do with us. Kevin is now a regular part of the group when we go out together, even though he has only been around for a few months. Everything was going seemingly well between Ashley and Kevin when a few of us in the group caught wind that Ashley is not being faithful to Kevin. 3 of us in total know, including one of the girls that is really close to Ashley. We even have proof that she has been hooking up with an ex-fling of hers and we have even seen messages to back up these claims. My question to you all is, how do I bring this to Kevin's attention? I was once cheating on myself, and I would have been devastated if I knew that my ex's friends knew about it. I approached the other two in the group and asked how they wanted to proceed with this information, and both of them seemingly do not want to get involved. I do not want to hurt Kevin's feelings, but I feel it could get much worse if I do not say anything. Thank you for the advice, and thank you for the great show. All right, Aaron, he was a real ass kisser when it came to you, so we'll start with you.
I think he's going to be really disappointed with my answer, because if Kevin is the boyfriend, joining the friend group, then you go to your friend Ashley and you go, hey, man, what's happening here? Like, Kevin is the boyfriend. F that guy. We don't care about him, right? He's not our friend. I don't care about him. Sorry. Unless we're, years and years into this relationship, I think you kind of go to your friend and be like, hey, what's happening here? I understand maybe not really wanting to get involved, especially if they're not pretty. If you're only a few months into a relationship, it's pretty new. But I think you say, hey, Ashley, you know, is something going on? This is really out of character for you. Are you struggling? You know, we don't want to see you get into a weird situation. I'm concerned about you. That's my thought here.
Yeah, go ahead.
I would say the same thing, too. Like, this guy Kevin sounds great, but again, he came into your friend group right now.
Yeah.
So your loyalty.
No loyalty there.
Yeah, I get it. You want the guy's nice and whatnot, but, you know, a lot of people come off nice within the first 3 months, okay? All right. I'm just going to be saying, let your friendship with Ashley be the one that's like the strength, and that should be who your friendship and loyalty should be to, if you've been with this friend group for a while now. So yeah, going to Kevin seems a little bit not a good move on your behalf, and you seem like you're just gonna be stirring the pot more than you really should be, and you're kind of putting a line in the sand against you and Ashley, unless you don't like Ashley in this friend group and that's what you're trying to do. Sounds like maybe you don't like Ashley.
Well, it just sounds self-serving to me, because, oh, I was cheated on and I wouldn't like this if I was. And it's just like, nah, bro, I'm one of the things I consider myself to be excellent at is not giving an F when it's not my turn. And I don't think this is your place to say anything. Ashley is part of the group. Kevin was brought in by Ashley. If anything, to Aaron's point, I agree. Go to Ashley, but you don't say anything to Kevin. You just stay out of other people's business as much as you can. And there's not a lot of details about how he found out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Again, if Kevin's like one of your best friends, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Different story.
Different story.
This is not your best friend, Kevin. This is a new friend, Kevin, that came into your friend group of your friend group right now.
Yeah.
So I would just, you know where your loyalty stands.
Agreed. Yeah. You got anything on this one? Or you
I just say show your respects to Ashley. Kind of mind your business with Kevin, but
yeah.
Just
with
echo everything that everyone said already.
Mind your business.
Mind your business. All right. One more real quick. Friends don't like my girlfriend. What's up, esteemed members of TBP? I will get right to my question. My friends don't like my new girlfriend, and they don't even really try to hide it. I have been dating this girl for a little over 4 months now, and she is a bit younger than the rest of us. She is 24 and I am 30. The majority of us in the group are in our early 30s. I didn't think that this would be a problem because one of my buddy's wives is only 26 years old. Whenever I bring her around, they seem really dismissive. I brought her to the bars with us a few weeks back, and as my buddy was ordering around for the group, when he asked my girlfriend what she wanted, she paused and said, I'm not sure, what drinks are they known for? My buddy rolled his eyes and just ordered her a vodka cranberry juice. I like your friend. This is just one example of how my friends can be dismissive and even rude. Last weekend, one of my other friends was having a bunch of us over for football, so the normal shenanigans were to ensue. Food, booze, some beer pong, and cornhole, etc. My buddy specifically made mention that he would appreciate if my girlfriend could be on time this time, since they were ordering food and didn't want to wait on us to eat. Beyond that, this past Friday, we were all out. One of my friends mentioned going to Tahoe for Halloween. When my girlfriend spoke up and said she had never been to Tahoe for Halloween, they changed the subject and again dismissed her for no reason. Can you guys help me out here? What would you do if your friends were being D's to your girlfriend? Would you call them out on this? I really like her and she doesn't do anything wrong, really. She is a little immature, but that is because she is young. Any advice you all have would be welcome. I am tired of my friends treating my girlfriend, and I like this. Thank you for taking the time to read this. Okay, real quick, and then I'll get out of the way. But my question to you is, have you asked yourself this? Does your girlfriend suck? Because you haven't given a lot of evidence that she does, but you haven't given a lot of evidence to the contrary, too. And if your friends immediately seem dismissive of her, does she suck? Is she not a good time? That's what I would ask myself.
If she can't put up with like a tiny bit of hazing, like maybe she's not the one. You know, anytime you enter a new friend group, it's a little bit tough.
Yep.
And, you know, again, if she can't put up with a little bit of hazing, maybe she's not the one. And, you know, if you do really like her, maybe tell your friends, hey, can you cool it a tiny bit? Or, like, what's the deal, right? Because who's ever nice to their friend's girlfriend when they join the group? Because,
I would say, I'm kind of with, yeah, like, if you really do like this girl and she is, like, as amazing as you're thinking, your friends are just being real Dick Cheney's about it, then approach them and say, yo, what's up with the deal? Why you have this problem with her? Like, that's a question. Maybe you should ask that initially. Like, why do you have a problem with her? Maybe they can tell you something that you're just not seeing because you're so lost in the sauce right now.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I get it. When you have a girl that you're really liking right now, you can be blinded to certain things that the other people are more privy to. So, you know, just approach your friend group. Like, what is the issue? Like, why are you being so dismissive towards her? If it is just like a natural, like, you know, we're a little distant because it's a new person. Get over it. And
yeah,
you know,
agreed.
But if there is something, let them know. Let them tell you. They're your friends, right?
Those rose-colored glasses are very strong in the beginning.
Yes.
Yeah, agreed. I think you guys all nailed it. I would ask your friends, yeah, what's up? Is there something you're really seeing, or am I being a little sensitive to this? And maybe it's a combination of both. But if she's going to be around long term, you could go to your friends and say, hey, maybe just cool it. You don't have to love her, but like, can we?
There's a thing too. If it is something that you do like, you be honest with your friends and say, hey, this is somebody that respectful. I really do like. I get it. You may not be the biggest fan of her, but I am, and you're a fan of me, so that should mean you want my happiness, right?
Yeah. So you can put up with her from time to time.
Yeah. Tolerate, baby.
Yeah. Agreed. All right. Well, Aaron, excellent as always. Thank you. We will we'll catch up with you again next week.
Sounds good. Talk to you later, guys.
All right. Later, Aaron. All right. Thank you to Aaron, as always, for classing up the show, bringing a woman's perspective that we desperately need. Stepman Brad, are you ready with your North State update?
I'm ready to go.
All right. He's got stats, and his name is Brad. It's time for Statman Brad's North State Update.
All right, y'all, we'll blow through this fairly quickly. We have a decent weekend. We have a decent weekend for Chico State sports as both men and women beat Stanislaus State in Turlock with a 3-2 victory for the men and a 2-1 victory for the women.
You got
the women,
this.
The women are 5-2 overall, and the men are 7-0 overall.
Hold on.
Thank you. One more time.
Yeah, let's
do
a little more.
There we go. And conference play will start this week. Friday the 29th against Cal State East Bay at home, and then on Sunday at home against Cal State San Marcos, the men on Friday at 7 p.m. and then 2 p.m. on Sunday.
It's this Friday?
It's this Friday.
It's at home?
It's at home.
I might have to try to go to that.
Yeah.
What and time's the game?
7 o'clock for the men on Friday, 4:30 for the women on Friday, 11:30 a.m. Against Cal State San Marcos for the women, and it was, give me a second, 2 p.m. against Cal State San Marcos for the men.
Okay.
And then going to volleyball, they...
Wait, back to back?
Yeah, back to
back. Saturday, Saturday?
Friday, Friday, Saturday, Saturday. They're back to back home games for the men and women.
This is, we're talking football, right?
We're talking football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot on the body right there.
There is.
What do you mean, a lot on the body? Like, well, Friday
then. He's ran 90 minutes, so you want to run another 90?
No. It's In the morning.
Yeah.
Or at 4:30, it's the women, and then at 7, it's the men.
Yes, yes.
Against Santa's
Hall. And then the next day, they're playing, right?
No, no, 2 days. Sunday.
Okay, I apologize.
Friday, right, then Tuesday. Sunday.
All right. Still quite a bit on the...
It is, but that's college. And that's college. Again, yeah. I guess
they are young, spunk kids right now.
But I'm going to pull that back a little bit, and let's remind you, with all this college shifting.
Conference realignment.
Yeah. This is going to be crazy, especially with a lot of these West Coast teams playing with these East Coast teams. The schedule is going to be...
Are we reshifting? Are we
no, no, no. D2 is not reshifting because there's no money reshifting there. But no, this is also... The Friday to Sunday happens in D1 as well. So this is going to be a lot on their body. It's a lot on the Chico State body as well. So let's go to volleyball really quick. They had a little bit of a turnaround. They lost their first game to Sonoma State in their first conference game, 1-3, but they turned back around and beat Cal Poly Humboldt 3-2. They'll be playing Friday against Cal State San Marcos at Cal State San Marcos, and then Saturday against Cal Poly Pomona. They are currently 4-4 overall, 1-3 in conference. Going to Chico High football, suffered an unfortunate loss to West Park. West Park is 4-1. They beat them 26-20. Chico High is now 4-1 as they start league play in 2 weeks, the 6th of October. PV, a very, very difficult loss they took against Central Catholic, 49-7.